Doug, we're gratified tonight and thankful unto you for the wonderful song service and the songs that you have selected. You know, anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of misplaced trust. You know, sometimes in life we learn and we grow to trust certain people, and then we learn that that trust has been broken. So tonight I want to talk about how we misplace our trust. And there's much to be said about it. In the book of Proverbs 3 and verse 6, the Bible says that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways and you will be blessed. And we are confident tonight to know that God really is a God who blesses us, and one in whom we can trust. We sing that old hymn sometimes, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And it is, isn't it? To trust in our Lord God and to know that God is going to lead us in the right way. Sometimes we just have to listen to God and to His direction and ask God to lead us, and then we follow wherever He may lead us. Sometimes people think they're making the right decision when they make the wrong decision, or they place their trust in someone or something, and then they realize, hey, I have misplaced trust. Trust is something that it takes years to build, and second, to break down. And forever you will find yourself repairing it or working on it. Trust is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the great characteristics of our God who is in heaven. There is the danger, however, of misplaced trust. You know, you have to be careful. There is the cynic who says, I don't want to trust anyone. And then there is the individual who's so gullible that they trust in anyone and everything that comes along. They have no fear. They have no, distrust in anybody. They believe that everybody is telling them the right thing. But finding the right balance should neither be cynical nor should it be gullible. Trust is something that is earned. You know, we are to rise above cynicism, and there are a lot of words that really are synonymous with a word actually cynic or cynical. They are pessimistic. Sometimes people really are pessimistic in life. They only see the worst. They only see the bad. And then there are those who are distrustful when we ought to be trustful. There are those who are negative thinkers. Instead of being very positive and motivational and thoughtful, then we relegate our mind to all the negativism that is going on in the world. People are skeptical sometimes. Maybe there's a reason for skepticism, I don't know. But a lot of times people are skeptical of other people. I think a lot of us are skeptical of politicians. You know, they tell us one thing and we're a little bit skeptical as to whether or not they're going to deliver on what they say. And that's closely akin to the word suspicious. We're a little suspicious about people. We see ourselves sometimes, because we're cynic, as those who are defeatists, that God is going to defeat us in everything that we do. Several years ago when I was growing up in Hallsville, there was a gentleman in the church that always would pray this prayer. It would be, Father, advance our cause in those things that we do right, but defeat us in those things that are evil. And you could just mark it down. Every time he prayed, he would always pray that prayer, defeat us. But sometimes people see themselves as defeatists in the right things of life. That's because maybe sometimes people are so fatalistic as well, or derisive. I mean, we could go on with all the terms. But let's talk a little bit about the dangers of gullibility. Both the cynic and gullibility can prevent us from knowing the truth. Now, you can be so wrapped up in one that you won't exercise the other, because you are so skeptical and cynical of everybody You won't believe anybody that comes along. Or because you are so gullible, and there are so many gullible people in this world who believe anything and everything that comes down the pike, or what people might tell you. And there is a danger of gullibility in our lives. The cynic has difficulty trusting those who tell them about God. People might be listening to a sermon, and they hear someone say, well, we need to trust God because God does all things well. And we need to know that our Father in heaven is in control of this universe. A lot of skepticism. A lot of people do not believe that. But we believe it most assuredly, and because of it, we can define our trust in God. But there are a lot of people that do not, and they say, well, how do you get this trust? And I'm going to tell you, you get that trust from reading the book that Jehovah God has given unto us. And that's what David said. You have to trust the Bible. If you don't trust the Bible, you will never really trust God at all. The gullible are susceptible to believing anything that anyone tells them about God. And there is a gamut of religious folks on the internet who are on television who are telling you all kinds of things about God that are just not true. And you know what? People are so gullible that they believe it. They listen to all of these evangelists on television who are steering them in the wrong way, who tell them that, you know, if you become a Christian, then all of your troubles are over. Gullibility. And they buy into it. If you send your money to me, or send it to God in care of my address, God's going to bless you and life is really going to be good. But I'm telling you, and you can take this to the bank and trust it as well. The Bible never said that we are going to go through life as trusting people without having failures, many failures in our life. They are going to be there, folks. It happens to all of us. And we have to trust and lean upon our God. When Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians in that 11th chapter in verse 24, he made this statement, I am jealous for you with, a godly jealous. If you're going to be jealous, you better make sure it's a godly jealousy. He said, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For it is he who comes and preaches another, for whoever comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. He says, if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. It's going to happen. Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, though we or an angel preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be anathema, or let him be accursed. But secondly, there is a disregard sometimes for God's warning. And if you don't trust God, and it gets back to what I said a moment ago, if you don't trust the Word of God, you can't trust God. I trust God based upon what His Word says. And if His Word tells me something, I trust it. I trust God and His Word. But there is often a disregard for the warnings that come from heaven. False prophets use and destroy, according to 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 3. He said in the last times, these false prophets are going to come into the world and thereby lead many astray. They say peace and safety when there is no peace. 2 Peter 2, verse 18 and 19. They deceive with flattering words and hypocrisy. Christ dealt with them. Matter of fact, go back to the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 15. Or Paul's admonition again to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you would find this to actually be true. You know, sometimes people flatter you with words, and they're just words, and they're not words you can trust, or they flatter you or say things from a hypocritical standpoint, and people are led to believe them. Many want lies, believe it or not, in 2 Thessalonians 2. That's why the Bible in verse 10 says that the devil transforms himself into an angel of lies. He does. And what happens is that people come along and believe those lies because they are so believable. They believe that what, the devil tells them is okay. It's all right to believe that, but not so. Not according to Paul. Sinners often suppress and twist the scriptures. Peter said they rest, and it's the word W-R-E-S-T. That means that they twist it. They will twist the scripture to say something that God did not say at all. And the Bible says that they suppress the truth, according to Romans 1 and verse 18. They do not, what the Bible encourages us, don't trust men or angels who preach a different gospel. Now, let me tell you something. How do you know that you're trusting God? Is it based upon the Word of God? You know, people say sometimes, well, you know, God spoke to me the other day. I'm a little suspect of that because I don't believe that's the way God deals with us today. He has given us His Word. For Hebrews says that He has given us His Word here in these last days by Jesus Christ, His Son. And that's the way the Word came. And when Peter wrote it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he said, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but He hath in these last days spoken unto us by the Christ, by the Son of God. And if somebody puts it in your mind or in your ears to believe something that God did not say, don't you do it. And don't believe it. You know, the Bible in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Listen to the spirit. And if it's not of God, then don't you believe it. Don't get caught up in it. There are so many identifying marks of false teachers that are in the world. Jesus said to His disciples, Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, He says, but inwardly they're like a ravening wolf, and you will know them by their fruits. We got a lot of false teachers out in the world. I just put a few of them up here. And bear this out. Don't just take my word. You can listen. It's all right. To turn the television on, listen, find out what these people are saying. But I'm telling you, they are telling you a bunch of lies and mistruths. And beware, He says, of false prophets who have gone out into the world. When I think of trust, I think of those who actually share a self-trust with themselves and with other people also. But a lot of times people trust in themselves. And that's why that book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says, what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, that is your own self-trust. Don't believe that, but you believe God. For there is a way that seems right or appears unto man to be right, but the end thereof is the way of death. And then over in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, he says, The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You better seek counsel and make sure that you are trusting in the right person. There is the danger of misplaced trust. Several passages tell us that. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. And it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Don't think you know it all. Don't think you have received an answer from God when it didn't come from God. And Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he asks the question, who can know it? Who can know it? Do you know your heart? Do you really? Think about other passages in the Bible that tell us about the dangers of misplaced trust. We have to find that right balance. They're both extremes, gullibility and unbelief or cynicism. If there are so many false teachers in the world, think about this just a minute. A lot of people say, well, you know, everybody carries a Bible. Everybody gets up in the pulpit and preaches a sermon. They're all from God. If that is the case, where are the false prophets? Where are they? Do we trust sometimes false prophets, people that say things to us that are not of God? We always carry that little coinage in our pocket, or maybe you see it on the bumper sticker of automobiles that say, "In God we trust." You know, I see that on the sheriff's cars, and not only his car, but the deputies as well. "In God we trust." And I think that's a great thing for Anderson County. I think it's a great thing. But too many, many times, we do not trust in God. We say we do. We carry the currency in our pocket that says we do. But do we? We must always discern between truths and lies. And the only one who can do that is you. That's why Paul says, you know, they rehearse the things that were taught. And Jesus says, search the scriptures, John 5 and verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, we can trust God, we know that, because of who God is. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent in the fact that he is all-powerful. He's eternal. He is loving. He is merciful. He is truth. It's not by accident that Jesus is simply called the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth." John chapter 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in John 17 and 17, he says, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth." But we must trust in God, and it's more than just a feeling. I mean, a lot of people, I think, misunderstand the word trust. People say, "Oh, yeah, I trust God." Do you? Do you trust him when things are going bad? Do you trust him when you're sick? Do you trust that you're going to get well? Do you trust that there's a heaven? Do you trust in material things? Where is your trust tonight? "For what if some did not believe?" Paul writes and asks the question in Romans 3. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. God's going to be faithful whether you believe it or you don't. Whether you disregard what he says, God's still going to be faithful. That's why Paul says, "Certainly not," and it's emphatic. You can see the little exclamation part there. That is an emphatic in the Greek. He is saying, "Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, and every man who's going to be a liar, let him be a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words, and you may overcome when you are judged." I like Psalms 119 and verse 160. It is actually the longest psalm in all of the Old Testament. He says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments will endure forever." And he goes on to say that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work, because it is inspired of Almighty God. And the Bible talks about the Thessalonians and the Bereans. And in Acts 17, he says, "These," that is the Bereans, "were more noble, wiser than the people of Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness. And then they search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. And therefore, many of them believed. You know, I always give you a book, chapter, and verse up here. I'm not like most preachers. I don't run it by so fast that you can't pick up on the scripture and go back and look it up. I've always encouraged people to bring their Bible to worship. I may go a little bit too fast for you, but I'm going to tell you something. Jot down the scripture reference and go back and read it, and that way you know for sure. Ephesians 4, he says, for the equipping of the saints, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, he says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men, or in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And let me tell you something, folks, there are people out there that would like to see you lose your soul. There are people out there who do not trust God, who would like for you to distrust God as well. When I think about the danger of mistrust, I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18, when he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know how you grow in knowledge? God doesn't just put it in your mind. God put it in His book. And God put it in the book, and He wants you to get into the book and read the Word and understand it and know it. Again, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He directs every path that you are asked to take when you trust Him. And I'm going to tell you, I do trust Him. I trust Him with all of my heart. I know that whatever God does, He does well. I mean, there is no distrust in my mind at all about God, about who He is, what He wants, what He desires for all of us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But both cynicism and gullibility can prevent you from knowing the truth. You know why? People read the Bible and they say, well, you know, that sounds sensible. What if it doesn't sound sensible? What if God asks you to do something that's not sensible? What if God told you to jump through a brick wall? Is that sensible? No, it's not sensible. Would you do it if God told you to do it? Was it sensible that Noah built an ark? What was sensible about that? It hadn't rained at all upon the face of the earth. And I can tell you, all of those who disbelieved, they were insensitive to what Noah said. And they were saying, this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen. You're building a big boat out here. We've never even seen the water. We don't know anything about this. You're talking about rain from heaven? When did it ever rain from heaven? Was it sensible? Was it sensible for Moses and the children of Israel to cross over dry land of the Red Sea? When Moses held out the rod and the first man put his foot down on dry ground, was that sensible that God's holding that water back and they're walking toward the promised land? That wasn't sensible. So what I'm asking is, do you really trust God when He asks you to do something that might seem a little cynical? The cynic has difficulty trusting those who tell them the truth about God. And the gullible are susceptible of believing anything anyone tells them about God. We must always place our faith in the gospel. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must let God's word be our alone. Notice this. Our only standard for all that we believe, teach, and practice. That's not the case with a lot of religious folks today. For they practice things that God didn't say. They uphold things that God did not teach. We must examine everything we are taught to think in the light of God's eternal word. That's why I've told you here, don't just trust what I say. You make sure that you look at these scriptures, you read them. I just put them up here for convenience. You can read them in your own Bible. And matter of fact, as I've said, if you don't have time to read it up here, make sure that you put down the scripture reference, go home and look it up. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. What is truth? What is truth concerning salvation? God has a plan. This plan didn't originate with man. You can trust that this plan originated with God. We must hear the gospel of Jesus, believe it with all of our heart, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Now, my trust is not in the plan. My trust is in the one who gave the plan, and that's Jesus. But we follow the plan to inherit the wonderful promise that God has made to all the faithful. God's plan of salvation is borne out in the scripture in many places. Jesus said, "Go ye and teach the gospel to all creatures, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Listen to the book of Mark 16. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Listen to that. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned." The Bible never once says, "Go home and figure it out." You have never heard me say that up here from this pulpit. Go home and figure it out for yourself. I wouldn't do that because God doesn't do that. But over and over it says, trust God. He's already got it figured out. And we have to trust in him. So don't allow your trust to be misplaced. You make sure that you are trusting in God. He is the only one, folks. And I'm going to tell you, that's something that we have upon the world. The world doesn't trust God. I trust him tonight. I believe in him with all my heart, and I'm very confident that what this book says, he will do. I hope you believe it too. We're going to stand in a moment and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. If you're here tonight and maybe your trust has been weak, it's been shallow, why not recalibrate your trust to God and in God tonight while we stand and while we sing?